I just found it interesting, just watching, looking up the screens and different things, and watching the tech team in the back working diligently with some small technical difficulties. How distracting was that? Just remind me here just a little bit, because I was thinking, we're talking about, today we're going to kind of focus on focus. Are you focused? And how Satan works in a lot of different ways in our lives to distract us from what we're supposed to be here for. And I just use this, I'll use this right here, this morning, as a great example. And I'm going to ask you a question. Why are you here? Worship God, right? Can you worship God through distractions? Absolutely you can, right? Because why? If we allow the distractions to cause us, to distract us, we lose our focus from whom? Christ. So we're going to spend some time today in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to be the verses we're going to be focusing on. But let me ask you this. How easily distracted are you? I talk about myself here. There's a movie called Up, and there's a dog that's in the movie. It has a little collar, it speaks. And it gets going. Then all of a sudden, squirrel. That's me. I'm pretty sure you can ask half the youth, if not all the youth here, or kids. You can ask even my adult leaders that are in these ministries. I have my moments where I am focused on something, then something else goes on, and squirrel. And now I'm distracted. But that's also the problem for us in this world today. First and foremost, we got to realize something that's very real. That Satan is alive, and he is actively, and I mean actively, trying to distract God's people. It's not just here and there. He's constantly at work. And guess where he's at work in? In the world, right? We know that, the world. But also in the church. He is trying to distract the church. He is trying to distract God's people so we know that we don't focus on Christ, but we are focusing on everything else but him. Makes it kind of difficult, doesn't it? Who's all busy? Who's got busy lives here? Saw a few hands. I know some people lying, but that's okay. Satan uses that. I'm going to make you so busy that guess what? You're going to be more worried about what you have to do and what's going on in your life right at this point in time rather than, I'm not going to let you think about Jesus. Wait a minute. I'm going to keep you so busy that now I just don't have time to spend in God's Word. I don't have time to sit down in prayer. I got to get up early in the morning. I got to get to work. I got a lot to do. We make excuses really well. Right? We make excuses really, really, really well. But here's what's interesting. It says Satan here is having a field day. And Paul warns us of this. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3 real quick. And this is what it says. It says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." A sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So this is the reason why I ask this. What are you focused on? Or even better, let me ask this. Who are you focused on? I'm talking about myself here. But that's a serious question that all of us need to be asking ourselves. Do we prioritize Jesus Christ in everything that we do? Do we focus on him? Are we seeking his will? Are we seeking his guidance through everything we do in our life? So let's go to Hebrews 12 here, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read it here. So therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I want you to notice something here. Therefore. Starts out with therefore. When it starts out with therefore, it means this is a continuation of something else. So let's go to chapter 11 real quick. Let's spend a few minutes here in chapter 11. Something I want you to notice about chapter 11. Excuse me. Well, first let's look at verse 1. It says, now faith... Yeah, chapter 11. Look at verse 1. I'm sorry. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 1 tells us what faith is. As we look down the chapter, I want something else you want to notice, the word faith through the chapter 11. It's mentioned several times, at least 25 times in 40 verses. Faith is mentioned 25 times. Is it important? Absolutely it is. Right? That's something I want you to know as you read your script, as you read Scripture. Notice those things in Scripture when it's repeated more than once. But let's look what it says here. Starting verse. It's about starting verse 1 right off the bat. I'm sorry. I'm trying to turn a page. It's a little difficult. Okay, verse 1. Now faith, right off the bat, starting out with faith. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand. Ooh, then it goes into the farther. It says, by faith Abel. Now we're getting some examples. Then by faith Enoch. In verse 5, verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 9. By faith, he went to live. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 13, these all died in faith. Go to 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, faith, Isaac. By faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 24, by faith, Moses again. 27, by faith, he left Egypt. 28, by faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, the people. We can see as we move down this chapter, you're going to see how many times it says, by faith. And what's interesting in 32, it also says, For some would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, what did they do? Conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power and fire of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. By what? Faith. So as we look at this, we're going to see, and it's going to get some answers. As we look at this, do you live by faith? So let's start in verse 1 here. Therefore, since we are surrounded so great a cloud of witnesses, who do you think these witnesses are? This great cloud of witnesses that are around us. It's referring back to chapter 11. It's talking about all those that we look at, all these saints in the Old Testament that lived by faith. Were they perfect? No. Did they screw up? Absolutely. And we can name several ways for them. But they still lived by faith and see how God used them in His Word.
in the lives of so many people, the impact they still have today is by faith they followed and were obedient to Christ. By no other reason, it was because of their faith. Let us also lay aside every weight. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Church, lay aside those things that are keeping us away from God. Now, something you want to think about now, go into this world, outside of this, even in the church, but even outside of here. Are we relying more on things that are not of God than we are relying on God in our lives? Church, are we being a church that is following Scripture? Are we being a church that is seeking God's wisdom? Are we a church that's seeking God's will? Or are we too worried about the things that we want? Think about that. That hurts all of us, I believe. Just a little bit. We all like what we like, but that doesn't mean that's what God's will is. And guess what? If it's God's will, we got to say okay. We don't always have to like God's will, but that doesn't mean we don't be obedient to it, right? We're called to follow God's will first and foremost and not our own wants. It's difficult. But guess what? God knows you better. He knows us better. He knows what's best for us, and he always looks out for us. That doesn't mean he's going to make it easy. One of the pictures I have on my phone, and I look at it every now and then, is talking about God's plan for us. It shows a person with our own plan. It's a straight line, straight. This is exactly the direction I'm going to go. Then it goes to the picture of God's plans for us. Yeah, he has a plan. He has a purpose. He knows what the outcome is going to be, but guess what that plan looks like? It looks like this. It looks like hills and valleys and all over the place. That does not mean it's going to be easy, but God is calling us to rely and be obedient to him and to rely on him to get us through this. Do you think the saints that were mentioned in chapter 11 would have been able to do what they did without God? No. No, not at all. It's because of their faith and their obedience to go. How many of y'all, let's look at Abraham here for a second. How many of y'all would just pop up, pack everything up and go, have no idea where you're going, and just said, all right, just go that way. I'll tell you when you get there. And that's all you got, information you got. That takes faith. And God says, guess what? Go. You just go. Pack your stuff up. Go. Take your family, all your belongings, everything. Go. And I'll tell you when to stop. Now, for me, I'm this guy, I like to know where I'm going and why I'm going. And I don't know if I like that too often much. Do I really need to go there? But that's not what God's asking us to do. He's asking us to be obedient. Put our faith in him and go without question. Go and be obedient to him. Rely on our faith to rely on him. That's what these witnesses show us through Scripture. Through faith, they achieved what they did because they were obedient to God's will. How many of y'all run a race before? As you can tell, I'm not really built for races. I'm not a big fan of them. I'm really not. I don't mind exercising, but my wife likes races. And I always thought she was crazy because she liked them. Because that was not me. But we're not talking about your physical, just necessarily a physical race here. But it's our race in life. It's a race in our faith. We build our faith by being obedient. We build our faith by relying on God through the hardships that we have to go through things that we, and see how God is working in our lives. Who we put around us influences that. For one of the things I know in the student ministry with the students and adults, this is for you all too. One thing we've been talking about over the last few weeks is about who you put around you. Do they help you come closer to Christ? Or do they keep you separated or trying to separate you from Christ? Adults, we have the same problem. It could be work, sports, it could be anything. Other people. So one of the things we talk about is when you look at yourself in this world, you say you're a follower of Christ, you say you're a believer, you say that you want to be growing your relationship with Christ, do you set yourself up to where you can grow closer to Christ? Do you spend time in His Word? Do you spend time in prayer? When you're not around with your Bible with you all the time, when you're at work, do you have people around you that can help you with that? That you put people around you that help you grow closer to Him rather than keep you away from Him? Do they encourage you? It's not always easy. But also, there's times for me, is think about, did God put you in a place to where all of a sudden you're the encourager to share the gospel with others? Something I want to share here, with point number one here. Something we must remember, and I think too often this world is telling us differently. Point number one is that Satan is actively at work every day. He's constantly trying to deceive, steal, destroy lives. He does not want you to be in a relationship with Christ, and those that are not in a relationship with Christ, guess what? He's still going to find ways to try to keep you anything he can from that introduction. But at the same time, for those that do believe, that have put their faith in Christ, guess what he is doing? He's on the attack. He's going to do everything he can to try his best to separate you from Christ. But here's the awesome part of this. Christ has already won, right? We might still have the battles, but he's won the war, correct? But that doesn't mean we stop striving. That race that we're running in our everyday lives, it's going to have its ups and downs. It's going to have its hills and valleys, just like the witnesses that were given in chapter 11. They had their hills and valleys. They had their ups and downs. They had their times of disobedience. They had their times where they were obedient. But first and foremost for them, they followed faith. At the end of the day, they sought God in their lives, and they were willing to go. So if you think Satan's really not after you, wake up. I promise you he is. He already is. If you don't see it, he's put blinders on you. Understand that. He is active. He is well. He is after you. So really think about that. As you move forward, as you move forward in your life, in your walk with Christ, think about those things that, what's keeping you distracted? Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Wow. Christ is there with you every step of the way in that race. May not feel like it sometimes. You might be asking why. But as a believer, he's never left us. He's always there. While running the race, rely on faith in Christ to lead you. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38 says, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." While we run in our race, we need to be seeking Christ wholeheartedly in everything that we do. We need to be seeking Him first and foremost. What does that look like to love Him with all your being? What does that look like to love Him in every aspect? The things that we consider bad, the things that we consider good, how do we, what does that look like in your life? There's times I've asked questions, why is this happening? Why do I have to go through this? But I've had a lot of people in my life that say, you know, the Lord's teaching you something. And I truly believe that. He is teaching. Jesus tells us clearly that we should be loving Him with all of our being. That everything within us should be striving to be like Him. Everything in us should be seeking Him in every aspect and every part of our life. It's not about what makes us necessarily feel good. One of the things this world is saying right now for us is, do whatever makes you happy. How many of y'all struggle with staying happy? All of us do at times. Christ is true happiness. Christ is true joy. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. Looking at Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, living by faith should mean that we are living our lives to follow Jesus first and foremost, that we see Him as the Lord of lords and kings of kings of our life. That Jesus has set the example of how we should live our lives. And not only set the example, but He also commands us to live a life in obedience to Him. It's not about what we want. As hard as that is to digest, it's not. It's not about what we want. It's about Christ. Christ alone. Church, if we dive into this stuff about what we want, what we think, we're missing the point of why we're here, of why we come together as a church body, as why we come together as a church family. We're here this morning to worship Jesus Christ first and foremost. It doesn't matter from one day to the next if the projectors are working or not. It does not matter if something is not going the way we planned it. We're here to worship God and God alone. So think about why we come, first and foremost. Why are you here this morning? Are you here because the fact is, you find joy in Christ? Are you here because you know you need the church? Are you here because you know you need to put yourself around like-minded people? And to praise and worship the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's why we're here. Second Timothy says this, it says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus never painted on this world a real pretty picture, right? He told us in this world what it was going to be like for fellow believers. He tells us it's not going to be easy. He tells us that it is not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be hard. He tells us clearly we're, as believers in this world, we're going to be persecuted as believers. Why? Because we're expected to be different than the world through obedience in Him. Verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Guess where our joy comes from? from Christ. That's where true joy comes from. The reason why is because we got a Lord and a Savior that went to the cross to pay the price for us. So the very fact that we can spend eternity through faith, we can be spend eternity with Him after this life. That is where our true joy and treasures are at. It's not here. Nowhere in Scripture says that. We got treasures here that are worth anything. That's why Jesus went to the cross for us. We find joy in Him. Not of the world, not of the color, the paint, of whatever the walls are going to be, not whether we want a chair or a pew, and I'm not insinuating anything. But we got to remember why we're here. We got to remember why we live our life each and every day. We got to remember why, I'll give you an example. Coming up, we've got this, the trunk or treat. We should be finding joy to get out here in this community to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. We got to have joy to be able to have the honor to be able to go out and share about our good Lord and Savior. It's a privilege, right? He's gave us the ability to do that because we can. For a lot of us, we're scared, right? We're scared. How do I share the gospel? Easy. How are you saved? If you know you're saved, tell them how. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He went on the cross to die on the cross for me and for all of mankind, that if you put your faith in Him, you believe that He died and His blood cleansed us, and that He was resurrected on that third day so that we can have eternity by putting our faith in Him, that we can spend all eternity with Him in heaven one day. That's who we are as a believer. That's what we should be sharing. So let me ask you this. What are you focused on? Are we focused on the joy of the things of the world that brings us joy, that doesn't last? But as a church, are we focused on the joy that comes from our faith? Or are we too worried about this or that, all these different things that are distracting us from seeing what God is doing in our lives? It's hard. Always has been, always will be, until we're home with Christ. Understand this, point number three, last one. Christ is the authority. He is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. It's not anybody or anything else but Christ alone. He found it and He perfected it. He's the one that went to the cross for us, took on all of our sins. He was the one that was risen on that third day. He defeated death so that we may be forgiven. And through faith, we have eternity with Him. So my question would be this. What's your focus? And if it's not Christ, what is it? Because if your focus is not on Christ, that means we're not being obedient. If our focus is not on Christ, we can have all the words that we want to, but our heart is not where it needs to be. Lord, every day, Lord puts so many opportunities in front of us. I truly believe this, that He puts opportunities in front of us to share His word every day. Do you do it? Or are you too busy? I'm as guilty as anybody. Understand that. Are you willing to trade the joy you have in this world for the joy that Christ gives? Are you willing to sacrifice the things in your own life to follow God, to follow Christ a little closer? It's a challenge. It's a challenge every day. But at the end of the day, Christ is the focus and should be the focus of our life. I'm going to pray, but the altar's open. Church, let me ask this and give you a challenge here. Are we really focused on Christ? Are we really being the church that Christ is calling us to be an example of Him, be a light into this community for Him? Or are we too busy indulging our own wants and our own desires that we have lost, that we have lost sight of Christ through what we're doing here? We all need to come together as a church. We need to unite together under Christ. First and foremost, that should be our sole purpose in anything that we do. As an individual and as a church body, we are God, we are the body of Christ, right? Our focus should be on Christ. So the altar's open. Anything that is bothering you, anything, come lay it out to the Lord. That's what He wants. Lay it all down, because He can handle anything that we have. There's nothing too big. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, just thank You once again, Lord, for who You are. Father, I am thankful that You love me the way You do, even though I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it, Father, but yet You're there with us every step of the way. Father, I ask, Lord, that today, Father God, that we all take a deep look into our own hearts. Are we truly serving You the best of our ability? Or are we too busy serving the world? And Father, I ask, Lord, that You just lead us in the direction that You want us to go, that we're willing to be obedient to You, Father, that we'll say we're going to go wherever You send us. I can't help, Lord, but think about Abraham and how You told him to go. And he had enough faith to say, all right, I'll go. I'll pack everything up. I'll just go that way. And that You would tell him when to stop. Father God, I pray for all of us here, Lord, that we all have that same kind of faith. Father God, that we completely give it all up for You, Father, that we can put our faith in You, that we're willing to go where the direction You send us, Father God, but we're willing to go until You tell us this is where You need us to be and this is what You need us to be doing. And Father, I pray for this church, Lord, here, and I pray for all Your church. I pray churches, Lord, throughout this country, Father God, that we see a revival at some point in time, that the Holy Spirit will move through this place, will move through believers across this country, Father God, that we start to stand firm in our faith. But Father God, that we seek You first and foremost in everything that we do. Father God, I just ask today, Lord, that if there is anybody that is in this place, Lord, that does not have a relationship with You, Father God, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit move to this, but there is conviction that Your word is heard, that truth is spoken, and truth is heard this morning, Father God, that they can put their faith and trust in You and be saved. Father, I just thank You for this time, Lord, You have given us today, Lord. But Father, I pray for every other day in between the Sundays, Father God, that each and every one of us here we'll take a look at our own lives and live for You each day, every day, and impact this community and other people in our lives with the truth of Your word. Father, I thank You for this time You've given us. I ask that You just watch over us and guide us, for we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.